You are listening to the Real Housewives of the Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Caroline Rogers. In this sweet space, you'll hear from women who are like you and some that are not. We will talk about how God is walking with us through the good and the hard on subjects like marriage, homemaking, friendships, ministry, parenting, and seeking God. You will also hear from me sharing what God is doing in my own heart. The enemy of our souls wants us to feel alone, and that couldn't be further from the truth. So if you are like me and need that reminder, join us as we laugh and cry together, giving God the glory through the stories of our lives. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Real Housewives of the Kingdom. This is your host, Caroline Rogers, and I am so excited to dive into our next series, which is Quiet Time with God. I really feel like this topic is so important because I think you might have had a few different responses when I said that the series is about quiet time with God. It might have brought you kind of a sweet feeling if you really love quiet time with God and you found a good rhythm of incorporating that into your life. But you might be somebody who sees that other people that you know at church do spend time with the Lord and you make your best efforts to open the Bible and to talk to God. But, you know, your kids are running around or you're busy, you have a job that is just makes it very difficult to take care of your home and to be able to spend time with the Lord. And the thing is it's really important. It's so essential to our lives and to how we survive this world. And there's so many things in God's word and that we can learn about his character through his word that will just equip us in life. And the thing is most of us, I think, know that, but sometimes it's hard to apply that to our day in, day out life. We get to the end of a week and we think, man, I really wish I would have spent more time with the Lord. And so that is why I wanted to dive into a series about it. And over the next couple of weeks, I am going to be talking to some really precious ladies that will be just sharing insights from their lives and what it looks like for them. And I think the important thing is that it can look different for everybody and it can look different in different seasons, and that's okay. And so I really hope that this series will breathe some grace into your life and that it will also make you want to fall head over heels in love with God's word and get closer to his heart. Today, I am going to share kind of what it looks like for me to spend quiet time with God and what that's kind of looked at like in different seasons for me. And I'm going to give you 10 truths about spending quiet time with God. So one of the things that I would say that is important is making the time special and being intentional. So for me, I love having a cup of coffee, having just, you know, a cozy little space to do my devotions or spend time in the Word or pray. I have a little basket that I put my Bible and my journal and highlighters and pens or anything that I might need or books, devotional books that I'm reading or other books about God's Word or God's character that I might read. And honestly, for me, I sometimes have worship music playing. Sometimes I turn off the worship music and just want to sit quiet with God. So there's several different things that I do within my time with God. And I've always kind of incorporated all of those things, but of course it's looked different. You know, when I was a little girl, I would read God's word, but of course I didn't have as much understanding about all of it and I hadn't lived a lot of life. And so, you know, I think back to reading stories about King David or Jesus and being really falling in love with Jesus and falling in love with that. But also now as I continue in my walk with God, I'm reading these stories again and again, and I'm reading Jesus' words again and again, and they just continue to speak to me in new and fresh ways. A few years back, I had a really sweet friend who journaled, and she loved journaling, and she talked about journaling, and it was such a cool thing because, so I had journaled before, but never really consistently. I had diaries when I was little, and I often use those as prayer journals when I was a little girl, but there were seasons where I did and seasons where I didn't. And then I talked to this friend about journaling and the way that she talked about just kind of opening up her journal in the, you know, in the morning when she gets up and just kind of jotting down what's on her heart. And it's been such a cool experience. I've been doing it now for at least 4 years. I've been keeping a journal. And is it a prayer journal? Yes. Is it a journal that sometimes I ramble on to God about everything that's on my heart and mind because I have to just get it out? Yes, it's that too. And it's also cool because I will write things that are on my heart, things, worries, fears. And sometimes I will go in and look for scripture that will remind me of a truth about God. So if I'm afraid of something and I write it in my journal, if I'm having fear, then I go into God's word and I say, okay, Lord, I'm fearful about this. What does your word say about being fearful? And so I can go in and I can look up those scriptures, and then I often write them down in my journal. Writing out scripture is so good. I write out my dreams sometimes, but these are all things that it's a dialogue with God, and just getting my thoughts out on a page has been really helpful for me. Over the years, you know, sometimes my hubby and I have been traveling for work and gone. So for a little while, we had these little tiny Bibles that we would take with us, and sometimes, depending on how much we can pack, we will just use the app on our phones. And so those are some ways that we've had to adapt over the years. And of course, you know, being in different work situations for us looked different in terms of when I was able to get time alone with God and when I was able to get time with God with my hubby, because that's also a priority for us. And praying together is a priority for us every day as well. I've always loved God's word, and I've always loved to get to know God's word. But I have to tell you, a few years ago, I received my grandmother's Bible, and it was passed through my cousins, and this Bible is full of her notes and all of her tears staining the pages, and it is such a treasure. And it passed through my cousins, and there were little notes from my cousins in it, and it was such a cool thing to have, and I got to have it for a year and read through it. And one thing that I have to say, when I got her Bible, I had read through the Old Testament multiple times at that point, and I had especially loved the Psalms or Proverbs or portions of different stories of King David's life or Joseph or some encouraging passages in Isaiah and Daniel and, you know, just those kinds of things. But I have to say, when I read through her Bible, I got a new appreciation for the Old Testament, and just seeing God's character was just so beautiful for me in that time. And that's why I think it's also so important to continue to study it and to continue to know. You will never know everything. You will never be able to fully grasp everything, and God's immense love for us is just insane. And our human minds just really, we can't wrap our brains around it. And that's why we have to just keep reminding ourselves. And so that was really sweet for me during that time. And then when my hubby got hired at Disney Imagineering, I didn't have to work anymore. And I was able to spend literally hours soaking in God's word every single day. And that was something that I really prioritized. That came on the heels of God putting on my heart to do my blog and this podcast. And you can listen to episode 2 if you want to hear how God put on my heart to do the podcast. And that started with a year of me not being on social media. So I was trying to be really intentional to just start every single day spending a lot of time in the word and just learning more about the word than I had known before. And it was so cool to see what God did in my obedience in that time. And I don't say this to be like, well, I had hours, but I have to say, I mean, I've had times in my life where I've had extra hours in my day and I've wasted them away. And you know what? God has grace for that. But I can so see when I prioritize time in His Word, just the richness that it has produced in my life and how much more I've just fallen in love with His Word as I continue to just digest it and learn about it and study it because I have continually read God's Word and I have memorized scripture. That's another really great tool as well, but I can't say that I am super great at memorizing scripture all the time. And I have, though, in the past, when I was getting ready to go into an emergency surgery with my endometrioma that burst open, I had a situation where the Lord brought a verse to mind that I knew I hadn't memorized, but I had read. And it was the craziest thing. And it was just proof that as I dive into God's Word and as I put it in my heart and as I read it, that the Holy Spirit is capable of bringing to mind something that I did not even memorize. And so that's another really cool thing that is also just always in my mind and in my heart of like, when I do make the choice to sit down and spend time in the Word, I know that it will be fruitful. I know that the Holy Spirit will use it not only for my benefit, but for the benefit of those around me. So it gives me a lot of motivation on that front. Now, I have to say, we moved to the Central Coast and my hubby is working a lot right now, and I got a part-time job. And now my job, the responsibilities have expanded, and that has left me with a lot less time. And I have to say that I have never had a regular, my hubby and I have never had a regular schedule for such a long period of time where we are able to, like, we know that our schedule is basically the same. And we also have never worked so much for so long. So in past years, we might have, you know, been gone on for a month on tour and had some pretty crazy scheduled days, long days, or maybe when we were working on a movie or something, some really long days, but that only lasts for a few months at most, and then you get a break. So it's always kind of ebbed and flowed, but this has been a year and a half of us having a pretty consistent schedule and a pretty busy schedule at that, and especially as I've now been taking on more responsibilities at work. And it was definitely something I prayed about, and I asked God if it was what I was supposed to do. And I felt like it was an answer to prayer and that I was supposed to take on the more responsibilities, but that meant more hours. And I have to say that it's given me a lot of perspective on anybody who's had a regular job for a long time. I think I probably didn't have a lot of compassion or even understanding of how that felt. And now I do. And so I see you and I know it's hard. It's really hard. And there are days where it is very difficult to say no to something that's good, to sit down and spend time in God's Word, or to not answer that phone call when it comes through because you know you're only going to have those 10 minutes in God's Word that morning. But one thing that I have to tell you is that God has been faithful to me. When I'm faithful, and even when I'm not faithful, He's faithful. But when I'm faithful to sit down and open His Word, He meets me there every single time. And I know that He'll do the same thing for you. So that is a little bit about my quiet time with God, kind of what it's looked like. Over the years, I've read devotional books. I read directly out of the Bible, and I highly recommend reading through the Bible, knowing the context of what is in Scripture and why it is there so that you can make sure that you understand what's actually happening and so you can have wisdom in God's Word. And, you know, I listen to podcasts that teach God's Word. I listen to worship music. Sometimes I just sit. Sometimes my heart is so grieved for something that I don't even have words and I just sit quietly and cry. And God just loves that too. He just wants to be part of our lives and He wants us to let Him be part of our lives. And so it is such a sweet journey. And it's one that I have to say, like, don't ever stop trying. If you know, you have a super busy week and you're just like, man, there is no way. There's no way I can fit it in. Try again next week, you know. Don't ever stop trying, because your life is going to continue to grow and change in as far as your schedule is concerned. So you just don't ever want to give up trying to spend time with God. I am going to give you 10 truths about quiet time with God. And the first one I'm going to start with is, if you are waiting for free time to pop up, it probably won't. The enemy is sly, and the best way he gets us is by distractions. Our world is a really busy place, as you are well aware. And so this is something that we have to be aware of. If you are waiting for that moment where you're just going to have this open free morning, or your kids are going to sleep long or whatever it is, you might not find that time. And so it's really important to let the Lord know you would really like to spend time in His Word and ask Him to help you to find that time, and then fight for it and make sure that you don't put it off because the time didn't just pop up. One of the stories in the Bible that I always think about when it comes to distractions in our busy world is Mary and Martha. And if you have read the Bible and know the Bible, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it says in Luke 10, 38 through 42, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" So this is not to throw shade to poor Martha, who was just trying to get a whole lot of things done, but it is really a heart attitude. And sometimes it's okay. There are things that you're going to have to leave by the wayside. There are things that are not going to get done so that you can sit down and open God's word and talk to Him. Which leads me to truth number two. When you say yes to time with God, you are saying no to someone or something else, often something good. Whether that's a phone call that you don't answer, you have to wake up earlier, you have to say no to coffee with a friend, you have to miss that TV show, or whatever it is, but that's something that you're going to need to ask God about and ask where you can have the margin to be able to, what do you need to say no to? Ask Him, "Lord, what do I need to say no to so that I can prioritize this time with you?" And He will help you with that. You know, there are so many examples of people who prioritize time with God, including Jesus. And, you know, think about it. Jesus went away to spend time alone with God. And when He did that, He didn't heal every single person on earth while He was here. You know, there was lots of people in needs, and He still prioritized time alone with God. And so that's something we have to remember. Sometimes something so good can seem like, oh no, but I need to help this person. And this is what God's calling me to do. And maybe it seems like it is, but just take a look at your priorities and just realize what is one of the most important things. And like Jesus said to that Mary had chose the right thing to sit at His feet. Number three is consistently spending time with God and getting to know His character will produce fruit in your life and equip you. So this is something that you will see the fruit. So when you are consistently spending time with God, you will start to notice that you are remembering His word. You'll notice discernment that you have because you've read His word and you have some wisdom, and it helps you to make decisions. And that is such a beautiful thing. You know, King David spent a lot of alone time with God well before he was king. When he was a shepherd boy out in the field, he had spent a lot of time alone with God. Like by the time he faced Goliath as a young boy, he was already super solid in his faith and super solid in just being close to God's heart. And God used that. And you know, it was not an easy road for him. You know, he walked through a lot of really hard things, but we get some of our best insights as to how to spend time alone with God by looking at what King David wrote in the Psalms. Psalms 1, 1 through 3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." And this leads me to number four, which is you can spend time with God any time of day, and you should. That previous scripture talked about day and night, meditating on God's word day and night. And this next one, Psalms 5, 1 through 3, is talking about morning devotions. "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up." And sometimes that can look like just being focused at the very start of your day. Let the first thoughts in your brain go towards the Lord and asking him to go before you in your day, even if you don't have a moment in your early mornings to be able to spend time in his word. And there's lots of scripture talking about morning and evening, spending time with God. But I also love this one, Psalm 63, 1 through 8. David wrote this when he was on the run in the wilderness of Judah. And he was, if you don't know, you should go and read the story of King David. It is amazing. 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel talk about his rise to becoming king. And it is incredible. I mean, he was on the run from his father-in-law, was trying to kill him. And he just, time and time again, it shows that the decisions he made were based on the fact that he was constantly asking the Lord for guidance. So Psalm 63, 1 through 8 says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." And that brings me to the fact that David had to make a lot of really hard decisions. We have to make a lot of really hard decisions. So number five is spending time in God's word and talking with him is how we get to know him. It's how we can decipher his voice and make wise decisions, which will lead us to that peace that Jesus promises. So we need to know God's voice. And how do you know God's voice? You study his word. In John 10, 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We know his voice. In Isaiah 30, 18 through 21, Isaiah is warning the 8th century Israelites about their behavior and the things that they're doing. But he also gives them this little measure of grace. He says, "Therefore, the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left hand." And I just love that, because don't we all want a voice telling us which way to go? And we want that voice to be God's voice. We want to know that we are not listening listening to our own selfish desires, that we're not listening to the world's wisdom, but that we are listening to God's wisdom. And the only way to do that is to consistently be bathing your heart and your mind in God's word.
Hey guys, it's Kevin
and Caroline
Rogers.
As you probably know by now, we love our marriage and are so passionate about giving others the tools they need to truly have a joyful marriage.
It breaks our hearts to know the divorce rate, whether you are a Christian or not, is 50%.
Yikes.
We also know that nobody gets married and hopes to have a divorce.
Exactly. This is why we feel God has given us the motivation to equip as many couples as possible before walking down the aisle.
On our 20th wedding anniversary, we launched an online premarital course. We share our own experiences as well as what God's Word says about marriage.
In it, we go over 5 cornerstones of a healthy, God-honoring marriage and give you tangible tips on how to walk in it. You'll have over 5 hours of video teaching from us, along with downloadable resources to take into your marriage.
We have always loved our marriage and want you to love yours too. If you're getting married and would love to have some great tools to take into marriage, join us today for the course.
Hey, even if you know anyone who is getting married, be sure to share this info with them. Link to the course is in the show notes or on our website,
MarriedRogersNeighborhood.com. While you're busy planning your wedding,
don't forget to plan your marriage. Join us and learn how to thrive and not just survive. Number 6 is you will likely face hard times whether you spend time in God's Word and getting to know Him or not. This is the truth. Everybody on this earth is going to walk through hard times. So don't look at quiet time with God as, well, if I spend time with God, then nothing bad will happen to me. Don't look at it as like a, I don't know, some sort of good behavior thing that will allow you to escape trouble. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." How has God overcome the world? Jesus gave us salvation through his death on the cross. So we have more than just this world. We will be in eternity with him. But he is here. He's overcome the world, but he's here with us. He left his Holy Spirit here with us to teach us and to walk with us. Have you ever watched somebody walking through something really hard who had a really close relationship with the Lord and you've just been in awe at how they handled it and you thought, that's crazy. I cannot believe that they are so peaceful or they're still able to be joyful. And that is honestly when you are actually truly walking with the Lord, he will give you that peace that passes understanding. And that comes from spending time in his word and seeing his character from Genesis all the way through Revelation and seeing where who he is and who he's been and what his character is, because we can trust him. And the only way that you're going to continue to remind your soul of that is if you continue to read about the things that have happened before and remind yourself of the times that he's come through for you in the past as well. Number 7 is spending time with God will likely result in conviction. This is a good, hard thing. In Hebrews 4:11 through 13, it says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." God sees our hearts. Even if we think we're hiding it, God can see everything. He knows the intents of our heart. And we honestly want to surrender that to him. And that sometimes hurts. You'll be reading God's word and you will get that twinge of conviction of like, gosh, dang it. I am not having a right heart attitude. And sometimes it's hard because that is going to go in total opposition to what the world tells you. The Bible And the kingdom of God is a complete upside down way compared to what the world says. And so the only way to know truth and the only way to make sure that our hearts are right is to be in a constant state of being willing to be convicted and to confess your sins. When God convicts you of something, confess it. Say, Lord, help me with this. And it hurts when he cuts away those things, when he cuts away those pride, those jealousies, those flesh things where we are trying to get our own gain or where we are only looking out for ourselves. Those are the things he's trying to cut away because those are the things that actually make us strive and live in a state of the opposite of peace, in a state of chaos. But when we embrace God's way and we let him cut away those things, then we can live in peace. Number 8, the Holy Spirit reveals truth and understanding to us as we step out in faith in our quiet time with him. Ask him to teach you and speak to you before you read. The Holy Spirit will reveal truth to you. It is so important that you are also hearing God's word from a trusted pastor that is teaching it rightly, but it's also important that you read God's word and you understand God's word and study it, and that you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you, and he will. And that's how it works when we talk to other people about the gospel. It's the Holy Spirit that works in us. We don't have any magic by just being Christians. It's just the Holy Spirit is in us and the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you. Just like I said earlier with my surgery, the Holy Spirit reminded me of that verse that was, you will keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And that was the verse that was brought to my mind right when I was being rushed into surgery, emergency surgery. And it was so cool that the Lord just like brought that verse right to my mind. And that is what the Holy Spirit can do for you. Number 9, you can read God's word, pray, and sing worship songs, or just sit in his presence. But at some point, incorporate all of these things. That is a beautiful thing about quiet time with God. You can make it super special and unique to you and your relationship with God. But all of these things are things that the Bible talks about that we do to show our adoration and our worship to God and how we grow and become more like Jesus. Number 10 is your salvation and relationship with God is a decision only you can make. Don't do it to look good to your church friends or even to your family. Do it to get closer to God's heart, and that will impact those around you like you wouldn't believe. People will sniff out wrong intentions. People will be able to tell it's fake. And at some point, you won't be able to keep it up if you are doing it for the wrong reasons. But if you are desiring to get closer to God's heart, to learn about his word, it will be a joy and the Holy Spirit will meet you there. And God will bring out ways that you can spend sweet time with him. And so just remember that your kids, your spouse, your friends, they will see when it's an authentic desire to get to know God and not something that you have to check off. I mean, reading the whole Bible in a year is great if you've got the time and you can do it. But for some people in some seasons, that's really not realistic. So be realistic about your schedule, but just make the effort and know that the Holy Spirit will meet you there. So do it for the right reasons. Don't let the push or a feel of maybe guilt, like somebody at church talks about doing theirs, or even you're listening to this podcast going, okay, well, I guess I should do my devotions. But if your heart is wrong, then you're not going to get the benefit out of it if you are just doing it to check something off of your list. And the Bible does call us as Christians to grow in the word and to grow in the knowledge of God. And in Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 in the New Living, it says, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk
is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. It is so important that we are growing in our knowledge of God's word and that our intentions are right in that growth, because we truly do want to continue to know God's word better and to have wisdom when we are making decisions and not just be pushed about by every wave of thing that comes at us in this world. In Ephesians 5:15 through 17, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So I hope that this has encouraged you, and I hope that you'll tune in to the next few weeks as we talk with some ladies about just what it practically looks like for them. And, you know, just so you know, even for me, I love God's word. I would love to sit and spend hours reading God's word every day. But right now in this life season, I don't have that time. But you know what? It was really cool that I did have a little time where I was able to do that. And I feel like that season is serving me well now in this season when I don't have as much time. And what I'm also seeing is that the little time that I do get to spend, God is maximizing it. And he's just been speaking some really sweet things to my heart and teaching me some really beautiful things in my time with him. And it's just precious. And I just want that for all of you. I want everyone listening who loves God to understand what it feels like to be so close to his heart. I would love for you to get to a place where you realize it's not how can I find the time, but I can't afford not to spend time in God's word. And that would be my prayer for all of you. I am going to close in prayer right now. And thank you again for listening. And I am just really excited for this journey with you guys to dive into quiet time with God and what that looks like from different perspectives. Father God, I'm so grateful for all that you do. I'm so grateful for your word. I'm so grateful for your Holy Spirit that you meet us right where we're at, that when we take those steps of faith that you teach us through your word. And Lord, I just pray for all of the listeners right now. I pray that you would just give them a breath of grace, Lord. Help them to find times in their day where they can sit down and hear from you, Lord. Help them to prioritize it. I pray that you would give them wisdom in planning their days and saying yes and no to things. Help them to find creative ways that they can sit down and hear from you, or stand up and hear from you, or dance and hear from you. Whatever it is, Lord, just meet them in their efforts. And we just ask all these wonderful things in your holy and precious name. Amen. All right, friends, that's it for today. I'm so thankful you joined us and hope it spurs you on to encourage someone else. You can find and interact with me at Real Housewives of the Kingdom on both Instagram and Facebook, and my website, marriedrogersneighborhood.com, which is linked in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would really appreciate if you would rate and review the podcast wherever you are listening. Just remember, we are in this together. God loves you, and you are not alone. See you next time.